Hello everybody, welcome back. This is Zethu Zwane with another Growth Opportunities. Here I'm Black to Health and Wellness Lifestyle Blog. Thank you again for joining me on another episode on just growth vibes, guys. As I feel like I always like to tell embarrassing stories, but they're not actually really embarrassing. They're just being real honest about your messiness, real honest. I get real honest about just being who you are. If you struggle with something, you're basically getting the behind the scenes of how I talk to myself. If, let's say, I have an issue with people pleasing, which is what we're talking about today, I always, girl, you're people pleasing. Stop being pissed with somebody else and own your shit so that you can just get over this growth, you know, get over this inability and let's grow through it, girl. So I'm always like this. I like to have these conversations with my friends. But as you guys know, like for real, you have less friends when you're this honest. Hence why I have this podcast, guys, because I'm sure somebody out there is okay with a little bit of truth in their lives, a little bit of honesty hour. So let's get to it. As you guys know, as always, this post might contain affiliate links. If you buy anything if you buy something from those links, you don't pay a penny more, but I do get a small commission. And I always want to suggest products or items that I would also use. Yes, but let's get into this episode. It is about people pleasing. It's about people pleasing. And I'm not going to tell the story from maybe the perspective that some people would want to hear it. I'm going to just give you the realness of this conversation. Let me give you an example about why. Okay, so who else? You guys need to hit me up. You need to give me a shout out on either of my social links. I will link them on there. If this relates to you, please let me know in those comments. Let me know in the comments on this one. Let me know in the comments on my Blacker to Health and Wellness Lifestyle blog, which is also on the link, because whose brain does this? Okay, so let me give you the example of binge eating. Okay, so or like overeating, eating shit that you know you're not supposed to be eating. I should work on my language. Eating stuff that you know you shouldn't be eating, but you do. Okay, we all do this. Most of us do this. If you don't want to admit, it's okay, boo boo. You can sit at the corner, and I'll meet you in 5 years' time. As you guys know, I always say this because I was one of those Christians who used to make fun of Christians when they're like, I don't move unless Jesus gives me a sign. And I'm like, what sign? What sign are you talking about? But nobody ever taught me about, having the discernment to hear God's voice. I think maybe it's my Anglican background. As you guys should know by now, I always say Christianity is like, you know, Christianity is definitely geographical, because people are going to sometimes interpret the Bible in their own cultural way. I had that moment yesterday and I was very judgy about it. And please don't judge me for being judgy. I did go and take myself through a little journal. If I'm judgmental of people, I do kind of journal it so that I can work through why am I judgy about it, and just maybe just accept them in that moment that, you know what, I understand that Christianity is cultural. And the worst part is I can classify myself as a people from the diaspora, where you are torn between two worlds. You've experienced two worlds, being in the world, being immersed in the world of the United States, and then coming back to a very deeply African country. And my country is like, you guys should know, let me give you a hint of like how deeply cultural my country is. I had like, you know, like all these housewives from the United States were like so obsessed. The first thing they think of when you land there is like, oh my goodness, you're going to bury my child. And they start, you know, posting these African cultural wedding dresses. I know I'm on a rant, but I'm about to make a point here. So, and then you're like, no, my culture, you just have boobs. Have you seen my culture? You have naked women with boobs. So, you need to fix your white face, lady. Okay, you need to, yeah, you're flushed out. You're shocked. You've gone white paper shocked. Okay, but that's how, there's no anakra in my culture. Okay, there's boobies in my culture. And you have to respect that. And I'm just making that point to say to you that, you know, then we can't escape those cultural influences. And it was very clear for me, like when I, same church in Norman, Oklahoma, was very different from the church in New York. New York, they still allowed us to go out. They didn't think that you should kind of like limit yourself in life. But maybe in Oklahoma, it was more conservative. I appreciate both 100%. There's always something beautiful about experiencing people's, experiencing different perspectives based on the same thing. And that's how you, and that's what you get with Christianity. But the point that I wanted to make here was, anyway, so there's this thing like, okay, so then once I finally discovered the voice of God, you know, I have this thing like, you know, now let's stick to binge eating. I don't know where I went off that tangent, but it'll make a point to you one day. But when you stick to the point of binge eating, right, or like eating recklessly, let's not make some people feel guilty, okay? Sometimes we just want to eat recklessly. I remember I never used to eat burgers because I used to like meal prep everything. I was OCD about what goes into my body because I wanted to like get really fit and, you know, have like that aesthetic or whatever. You know, I was really obsessed with health and fitness, as I am still today. And this is why I'm sharing my, you know, thoughts with you guys about life, because I feel like it's all connected, your body, spirit, and just the way that you take care of yourself is very connected. So now I was like, now I finally tried this big, you know, like this Mac Daddy burger, that Big Daddy burger, that's what they called it. This burger is cholesterol, okay? It is a heart attack, but it is the juiciest thing you can ever eat, the juiciest thing you can ever have in your whole entire life. Okay, but you have to have it that moment. It is fresh in your, either your takeout box or fresh on your plate. You can't have it the next day. It's so freaking disgusting the next day. The next day, you're definitely going to taste the cholesterol. And the next day, you're definitely going to taste the heart attack in the burger. Okay, so you might as well just have, you have to have it right there. And then it is like the most, and I was like, I've never had burgers before. Okay, so now I'm going to go for the most extreme burger, the one that has 3 burger patties. And I was like, okay, I'm also beefing up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to get away with this one and tell myself that I'm allowed to have 3 beef patties. Like, really, really? I mean, let's just think about it. I didn't want to think about it then, but let's just think about, was it really that necessary that I shoved down 3 burger patties down my throat? No, it wasn't. But I was like, this is my first burger, so I might as well go extreme. And then my brother was in Chicago, and then he told me about, like, what's this place? Like, oh, I forgot the name. But he was like, now this is the burger that's a real heart attack. Because I, as soon as it came to Oklahoma, I was like, we have to go and get this burger. I've never had burgers, but my life has been changed. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why I make this reason is because the reason why I want to use this example is because now let's just change the scenario a little bit. What if I actually went and took those free health and wellness tests at some clinics? They do have them at some clinics. We have them here in Eswatini. We offer them to a lot of private companies where you can test for cholesterol, diabetes, and high blood pressure, right? So those ones are given to them free for companies that subscribe to certain wellness companies. That's where I used to work. And then that's what sparked these conversations as well. It added to my motivator to start these conversations. So now just I wrote one health and wellness topic newsletter about that, you know, cholesterol can be genetic. So you actually, some person can have that cholesterol heart attack juicy ass burger, right, that Friday. Again, don't have it the next day, you're having it that Friday. You can go treat yourself and have it that day and have like a whole beer next to you, whatever drink you want to have. Okay. And then, you know, what if the doctor says, what if you have genetic cholesterol? So obviously you're going to be different from, you know, person B who can just like have the Mac Daddy burger and not care about the heart attack burger or not care about the cholesterol burger. That has nothing to do with your life. You're just going to go and consume this thing. And for you, you can't actually have this burger. But what if now you overindulge in highly cholesterol things? Now, please, somebody needs to agree with me with this next point that I'm about to make. Who else here, you know, when you start experiencing like the, you know, God's voice or whatever, and then, and I'm telling you, if you don't feel like you do these pathetic little prayers, then you need to start doing pathetic little prayers and change your life, okay? Because this is what you do, this is what I do anyway. So let's say if I was that genetic cholesterol person, I'm going to go stuff my face with this burger. And then I'm going, in the back of my head, I definitely know I'm not one of those people who's allowed to have this burger. But I want to have this burger because, excuse me, I spent the last 5 years not eating burgers. And now I'm changed. I'm a changed man. You know, I finally figured out Christ's voice. So I must also add him into the food that I eat. Because my reasoning was, and this is a good reasoning, but I'm going to give you also the times when I have stubborn and stupid reasoning for my bad eating behaviors, okay? If Jesus cares about, I position God and I's relationship to only care about the big things, like my house, the future house that I want, my career goals, and blah, blah. And then, but every single turn, which is what my blog is all about, I want God to focus on my career goals, but he wants to focus on my panic attacks. And I'm like, okay, excuse me, we're not here to focus on my functional anxiety, because that's what, you know, some perfectionists are. They have functional anxiety. They know how to maintain themselves in the midst of chaos, and they don't freak out like most people. They've just learned like that, you know, just demonstrates like your Olivia Pope kind of character, where you only see that the impact of today's events really influence her when she's behind this, when she's behind closed doors, and it's just her and a wine up and a popcorn. So now, but now, God has said it so many times, picking at the fact that he wants to talk about your functional anxiety because it's linked to why you're close to cholesterol, or it's linked to why you're close to, you know, a stroke or whatever the case is. And we've normalized strokes, and God doesn't want to normalize strokes. Secondly, God was not there for, you know, people's career goals. He was sitting there, who's that tax collector guy? He was not sitting there with people for your career goals. He was sitting there with people for these kinds of moments, your stress, your people pleasing. So now you want to be like, so this is me. I don't want to give God first my issue with people pleasing. I was like, let me give you my cholesterol problem. So Jesus, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go stuff my face with every cholesterol high food, okay? And then I'm going to pray my whole life, because I know 2 weeks down the line, I have to go do another test. I was at high risk. Not me per se, but I'm just saying an example of a person, a high risk person, and you're freaking out and you don't know if you're going to be on the high, negative, scary level of your cholesterol thingy. Now, if you guys don't do these kind of prayers, or if you don't use God this kind of way, then, oh my gosh, you are missing out on the goodness of life. But what I wanted to say about that moment, now, the reason why I use this example is because now, let's say if I go and get that cholesterol test, right? And the doctor says that, oh, everything, okay, your levels are fine, you haven't escaped. Please, who can agree with me right here? Somebody has to agree with me. There's a point where your brain, you are freaking out because you ate too much cholesterol, high, you know, like dangerous cholesterol food. You didn't do the Big Daddy burger. You did the Big Daddy burger, and then your friends took you out to those buffets, those $20 buffets that just so happen to have every heart attack ingredient in the dictionary packed into them, okay? But now that the doctors told you that, hey, you know what? Your levels of cholesterol are fine. Please, can somebody agree with me? There's a part of your brain that literally flicks in the blink of a second, and then you start walking around feeling like, oh, hey, I'm a cash. You don't even think about Jesus, actually. I had to remind myself at the end of the day, and this was for another example, not cholesterol. I don't suffer from that. But your brain literally in that second when you're given the good news, your brain is like, oh, shit, I can go eat that burger again. You know what? Because, like, for real, I haven't had burgers. I've never had a burger, bro. I've been living, like, this healthy, strict life. And now that I've loosened up my living and I feel like I'm a little bit more free because God has shown me that I don't have to be a perfectionist, I'm about to go have this burger every day. Or, like, maybe every Wednesday and Friday. Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, I had to wake up the next day. Cause, okay, so now I can give you the example of me personally. I had to do that with my finances. And I was like, I woke up the next day and I was like, girl, you are so crazy. I loved how the panic went when I was busy praying about, okay, Jesus, like, you know, just like help me through this budget, you know, help me through this financial moment. I know I was reckless over here, but help me turn it around. And you know, let me tell you, you tend to do this, or I tend to do this in a place where I know God has already secured me. So I feel like because God has already secured me in that area, there's something that happens where I feel like I can abuse it a little bit because I know that he's shown himself the most in that area. So I can over, there's a, you take advantage of the safety net that has been created for you by Jesus Christ. And it's like we do that even with, maybe we don't, even if we have this, even if we don't, even if you, let's say, you haven't experienced the voice of God yet, or you haven't had that discernment, you're not sure about it, you're not clear about it or whatever. But there's a certain point where you've probably risked something in your life or risked something in your, something somewhere in your chapter. And then you begin to feel like, you know what, I can risk a little bit more. Like, as soon as the risk goes away, your brain just does some reset funny button thingy, and you are back to square one, where you're about to be recklessly eating Big Bag, Big Daddy burgers. When, hello, weren't you just freaking out 2 seconds ago? Your brain does that. What I love about this example is that it doesn't in it just show just how, you know, like the Bible says that a lot of times where your heart and your mind are going to fool you. And if you don't journal through the crazy, let's say journal through the panic attacks, the crazy, I mean like the panic attacks, when you start to overthink certain things, you know, you just, let's use the example of, okay, let me use the example of my finances. Okay, so like, I've taken on too many projects. I've taken on enough projects. Maybe there's 1-2 projects that I shouldn't have taken on, but I did. Okay. So now you're freaking out about your finances, and you've been setting this whole entire time. But the reason why God wanted to talk about your functional anxiety is because it's going to influence how you manage your finances today. The reason why God wants to talk about your functional anxiety is because maybe you're at risk with cholesterol. And then now taking on too many projects, it's going to influence your physical health, the longevity of your health, how far you can propel through those projects. So he's going to talk about it like 5 years ago, right? And then you discover this big daddy burger like today. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reason. We have that. I feel like once you start having the discernment of God's voice, or like you've experienced his safety, you've experienced him coming through for you when you needed him to come through, even if you messed up and you feel like, oh God, you know, I messed up here, I really am sorry here, and you apologize for your sins, but then you realize, oh, there's that part in the Bible where I must just praise Jesus. I must just praise Jesus, and then, you know, he'll work through for me. There's a bit of sincerity in that moment, but there's also, you've now acknowledged that, okay, you are safe because of his grace, because of his character, because of his faithfulness. So in a lot of ways, I feel like sometimes we just have to be really honest with ourselves. You know, when we abuse those moments, like, for example, with the eating, the high cholesterol. Now, you know, you're not supposed to go eat those high cholesterol heart attack foods. You know, you're not like your friends, because you've had that inner discussions with God. You've had those revelations with God. And there's a part of you that, okay, yes, innocently, there's a part of you that does forget, because our minds are fickle. I think that's always my prayer. You know, it's like, you know, my mind is fickle. You know, I'm not really sure. And sometimes you feel guilty for asking that. But I've come to realize a lot of the pastors, which I actually do appreciate, they do kind of talk about the fact that your brain does that reset thing, where when the uncertainty, what will the doctor say about my results, about the cholesterol, let's say, for example, goes away, disappears, your brain immediately resets. Have you ever experienced that? It was like you were underwater, and then the minute you get the result that says, oh, everything's fine, it's like you can finally breathe, and your whole body feels like it can breathe. But not only that, but then now your brain wants to go back to that reckless eating, back to that reckless decision making. And so that's what he's there for. He's there for the emotional part of your decision making. And I think you can kind of see that from the very beginning. Let's use an extreme example with Cain and Abel. Cain, I don't know who the heck. One of those brothers killed the other brother. Okay, I'm going to go back and read the, which brother killed who? Oh, let's just Google it right now. Okay, whilst I'm with you guys. And it was like, it was out of his jealousy. There's nothing about God who pins people, against each other. But then we pin each other against each other. Let me see. but we pin each other against each other because we feel like, do I feel there's this something that happens in the way that we think? Our brain will always, whatever, our brain is led by certain beliefs that are not in your favor at all the time. For example, if you were mistreated, if you, since a little child, if you didn't feel as though you were always accepted as for who you are, or you had to over, or you just from observation, you quickly had to learn, let me treat myself in a certain kind of way. And this is, you know, all species do this, you know, even dogs do this, you know what I'm saying? Just by observing, okay, this dog gets petted more than the other, this dog gets petted more than even me. My dog did that actually, Caesar. But the only problem with Caesar, I have a black dog, okay? I have three dogs. It's Caesar, Bonnie, and then Nero. So Nero is a psychopath. She flies out the window, and she's been doing that since she was like a toddler. And it was really concerning to me. I even wrote to like some dog pound thing. I was like, what is wrong with this dog? She didn't grow up with chickens. Like, she grew up with chickens, not with actual birds. Like, where is she learning that she must fly out of windows? Okay, but Caesar actually didn't like to be petted. I don't know why he didn't like to be pet. And he would like attack you if you didn't want to pet him. But he noticed then would end up petting Bonnie, the older one, the most. And she'd end up sitting on our laps the most. But with him, we'd do like this thing where we play with his body. That's the closest we'd get. Otherwise, he'd growl. Like, he'd literally growl when he'd pet. But as he got older, he started observing that, oh, getting petted, he kind of picked up. Being petted more is like being loved more. So there was one time where Bonnie, like, she sits on my, she wants to sit in the middle of my lap, you know, even if she's a big dog. She's not really huge as a, like a bobo, but she's really small, grown dog. Okay, she's an adult dog now. She's 5 years. Then, as soon as she got off, Caesar came and he stood in the middle of my legs. But he, because he didn't like to be petted and put inside in between your legs as a puppy, because he'd always growl. And there was a time when I tried to, like, you know, force him to, like, you know, be cuddled by me. And he, like, literally almost nipped my finger off. So we just don't do that with Caesar. But now he's kind of associated it with, like, he feels there's better treatment with that one. And the way that you can see that is because as soon as Bonnie came off, he came in and stood in between my legs, but he didn't know what to do. So I was like, oh my gosh. I got so excited. And then I pulled him down. Now he doesn't know how to behave because he, you know, he's never done that ever since he was a puppy. But now being an older dog, he wants to do everything that Bonnie does, because he kind of feels like you get called more. You get loved. It looks like you get loved more, not intentionally. So that one actually kind of made me feel sad, because I was like, oh my God, my poor puppy. He's watching Bonnie, and he's started to mimic her now as an older dog, as opposed to when he was a puppy. You know what I mean? So then we've started encouraging and playing with him. But what if, you know, let's say, for example, not willingly. The reason why I like to use dogs, because I just feel like, isn't it just a little bit the same in terms of species? We all want to be loved differently. Maybe as a kid, you're not that kind of child. You weren't that kind of child who wanted to be cuddled and, you know, cuddled and, like, you know, suffocated in a certain kind of way. You wanted to be loved, maybe in terms of, instead of the cuddling, you wanted more communication wise. So I have a kid's store where I talk to parents about that. You know, do you want to explore your different child's love language? You had a different love language to your child, so maybe your parents didn't understand that one quickly, and that affected the way that you believed you needed to be loved or you needed to be expressed. So the reason why I think of that one is because, doesn't it have an influence on just how you then perceive you should be accepted in life, and how you then perceive you should be, you know, you should be cuddled, you should be appreciated, you should be loved. And all those ones will influence maybe just how we forget that maybe that's how it started. And, you know, there was a difficulty, maybe you weren't certain about the way that you were loved, but you kind of like picked up, oh, I want to be cuddled. But being cuddled is not your thing. You like more conversations. You want to go outside and you want to play as a kid. But as a kid, we're not really there. We don't know how to communicate our needs, because we, you know, you're a fresh little human being. You know what I mean? And you don't really know about those things. You have to be taught, oh, if I want to you know, if I want quality time in the sense of playing outside, I have to ask for it. What if you didn't grow up in a family where you learned to ask for it? Now, moving on, growing up as a, you know, growing into a teenager, you start to see that, oh, in other families, they verbally ask for those things. That has a big impact on, that will have a big impact and influence on how you feel like you deserve to ask for certain things as you get older. And it'll also have a big impact and influence on what you deserve or what you feel like you deserve to ask for in prayer. So, as a result of that, I've created an ebook, not to talk about an ebook, not to talk about, you know, binge eating. It's likely we'll cover that one, but it's just talking about your body confidence. You know, just like how you feel, how you felt about shrinking your body because you weren't accepted. If you felt too much criticism growing up, not necessarily at home. Sometimes the criticism can be from outside. I remember as a national swimmer, you guys know the story by now. As a national swimmer, everybody always asked me, oh my goodness, why are your hips like this? And I had to stand there for a really long time up until a guy said that to me. He was like, hey, look, but too, you know what, you have a big bum and thick thighs, right? But you have a really small stomach. All the girls here have big stomachs, so you guys are like the opposite. And he literally said that and he walked away, like, you know, like, when, because, like, I feel like boys do less comparison as girls, or they don't actually, you know, but opposite genders won't see what the genders are, you know, what's the fluff all about, what is the chaos all about, why are you guys complaining over this one? But it did have a big impact, because then now I had to go look for my body type. And it, you know, fortunately for me, I gravitated towards, you know, bodybuilders. Serena Williams was my body goals, because she literally looked like me. And my dad was the one who said, he's like, no, but you look like Serena Williams, you're very built and you're very strong, and look, you are, you know, you were a top swimmer. I was a top national swimmer at that point. But what if you don't have the body to show? So with this ebook, I wanted to really go deep into, you know, how did that influence of not fully understanding that, oh, this is the most expressive child maybe, and you probably weren't the most expressive one, and then now you're not comfortable and you don't know your body type, or you don't know what does your body mean. And we're growing in a world where, you know, we're in a space where sometimes it's very difficult to see your body shape and appreciate your generational beauty. That's what I feel like God wants in other people. So this ebook that I've just released, that you guys should definitely go check out my blog post. I will definitely link it in the description. It's just all about just identifying, going through that journey. Have that honest journey, starting from, are you going to like overeat with that burger, and then having that confidence to be like, ooh. But now, let's say, for example, like, you know, when your brain, in terms of that example, it was more about, you know, how does your brain deceive you? You know what I'm saying? In the sense that sometimes when you freak out about something, and then when you feel like, oh, it's been saved, or your prayers were answered, or the situation, you overcame that situation, it's very easy to go back into what you're used to. It's very easy to go back to that comfortability. But sometimes that's not growth. You know what I mean? It's, you're going to stop in that space where you're constantly going through the same cycle, but you want to break free from that cycle. So this workbook has got weekly activities, starting one with how your brain works. What's the first thing that you think about? You know, what's the relationship that you have with your body? Go and check out the link in the description, because it's just all about, it's particularly for that woman who hides her body, particularly for that woman who doesn't see much of a body out there, and you have that conflicting struggle between yourself, because the way that you perceive yourself there and your relationship with other people, it's going to influence your career goals, it's going to influence your life goals. And so that's why, you know, I really loved that example, because, like, you know, we sometimes feel like God is like that big, God is only there for those big moments in your life, like your life goals, which He is at the end of the day. But it's more importantly there for your emotional growth as well. And those are the growth opportunities that we're always talking about here. Because what's the point of getting to the top? As I've always, 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 and will always say, what's the point of, let's say, getting to a space where you know how to manage your finances, and you're not, you know, you're not like recklessly living and panicking in between months and stuff like that, wondering if you're going to make it to the next month. But Now you get to understand intrinsically, how do you emotionally perceive finances? And is it because, are you impatient about your goals and therefore you don't wait on God's timing, you want to shift to your timing? Or are you now at the point where you understand God's timing and you understand that the panicking only leads to you to further reckless living and only leads to you to, you know, maybe disrupting the actual outcome and the fullness and the enjoyment of your goals, as opposed to like goal setting. Then the other and the last and final thing is, it's definitely working on emotional boundaries. So listen to the next podcast, because I'm about to talk about, or the next episode on my podcast, because I'm about to talk about people pleasing. And you guys are going to, it's not going to be the way that you guys think about it. I was attacked by 5 women, and I'm going to give you the best moment, and I'll start with the best moment again. I'm not even joking, guys. I'm not even joking. Sometimes I feel like Jesus mustn't be the only one to walk with me in life. I need like somebody to walk with me so that I can walk out after those kind of moments and be like, you saw this, right? Not only Jesus saw this, because sometimes I'm there like, okay, Jesus, we need to pray about this moment, because I don't know which psychopath you feel like I need to come across in my life. But I don't want. Okay? I don't want. Okay? And the reason I say this is because I'm not going to, you know, go deep into the fight. So I was attacked by 5 women. And I remember the 5th woman, because I had people-pleasing problems. Okay? So you kind of attract crazy when you have people. My people-pleasing attracted crazy. All right? And the moment for me when I was like, I have to change, guys. We gotta change. No, was when a woman stripped naked, and I went into the bathroom to go use the bathroom, and she stripped naked in front of me. And then she's like, "Who do you think you are? I'm better looking than you." And that was the moment where I was like, "Wow, guys, wow." To me, she's like far beautiful. But if you're going to strip naked in front of somebody to prove that you are better looking than them, you clearly have problems. You have the problems. Okay. So that was the turning point for me, where I was like, you know what? I actually just need to create emotional boundaries. So that's what this workbook has. It has activities to help you and moments to just help you recognize how to begin having awareness of what is creating emotional boundaries and why you need to have them. Because sometimes I think previous me, if she was the first one to come after me, I would have panicked, I would have freaked out. What is this woman doing? I would have started screaming. I was like, you literally are in the, I have seen more naked women than men. This is not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. But in that moment, I definitely had that aha moment where I was like, okay, I need to work on my people pleasing so that nobody comes into the toilet with me. Okay. Like, this is an invasion of privacy. And I have to take accountability to some certain extent that I, you know, having the fear to put a boundary between me and somebody in the beginning, right when I see, okay, this is about to go crazy, it leads to these kind of extreme examples. But anyway, you guys should definitely check out my blog post, and you should check out on the next episode, because I won't talk about the crazy, you know, how I ended up taking her out the toilet. You know what I'm saying? I want to just talk about, what are we going to do about your people pleasing? Because it's not. It's never going to be okay. And we want to grow out of it, so that when you hit into different levels of your growth and your life journey, you are more at peace with the crazy, and understand that you are not responsible for people's behavior, especially people who want to strip naked. And it wasn't even at a strip club. But anyway, it's okay. It's okay. Don't go to strip club. I'm joking. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And just check out in the next, on this short prelude, just on my thoughts on just life. And now we're going to head over into the next episode. So you guys should just definitely come and check and listen to this podcast with Zetizwane. Bye.